When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I never put much thought into tires in the past. The thought was always to drive what comes on my vehicle, and if I had to replace them, I made my decision based on price. Our friends at Cooper Tires know what they're talking about. Cooper has been an American company since 1914, with more than a century in the tire industry. Each Cooper Tire undergoes rigorous testing and are backed by warranty, so you can trust that they'll last for thousands of miles. The Coopers pride themselves on good merchandise, fair play, and a square deal. Always have and always will. Don't overpay or underbuy. Cooper Tires do what tires should do and cost what tires should cost. All Cooper Tires are backed by a limited warranty, a 45-day test drive warranty, and select products are backed by tread wear mileage warranty, helping to give you confidence on the road. For complete product and warranty details, please visit www.coopertires.com or www.coopertires.ca. And remember, go with the Coopers.
Folks, welcome back to the Crash Course Podcast. Today's episode is a short one, originally aired on our No Laying Up podcast feed. Features our discussion of the first course we played on a Scotland trip in the summer of 2018 called Kilspindie, a great little gem on the coast. And we are repurposing that audio here in the Crash Course feed for you. And let's get right into it.
Kilspindie. As mentioned, this was one we I had never played this one before. We roll up to it, and it was a 5,200-yard golf course. We talked to a couple members in the parking lot. They're like, well, you better get your scoring in here before you get moving because this is the easy one. Oops. I didn't find that golf course easy at all.
5,200, playing about 6,800.
Yeah.
But, I mean, yeah, it was a lot of, like, short drivable par fours, but I didn't find them easy. I think maybe I birdied one of them, and you get yourself in trouble very quickly. But that was our introduction into how fast and firm it was going to be and how I guess that for your guys' first round of golf in Scotland, what was your takeaway from Kilspindie?
Well, I'd just like to say the first hole is a par three, little innocuous kind of 150-yard par three, which in and of itself is pretty cool. And I hit a terrible 7-iron, like short and right, and then I chipped in for birdie. And so it was a cracking start to my week.
You can't birdie all 207 unless you birdie the first.
No.
And by the way, Randy hadn't touched a golf club in about...
Since Bandon, right?
Yeah.
Since Bandon. April. Yeah. I little pinched nerve issue in my neck that kind of really flared up. So yeah, this was first time touching a club, get out there, make birdie.
So beginning of the trip, Randy's like, I don't know if I'm going to be able to play more than three rounds, maybe.
Yeah, right. You estimated you played three rounds. How many rounds did you play?
I ended up playing, what did we play, 207 holes?
Yeah. There were 12 rounds.
I missed out on 27 holes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
So you liked it. It was okay for you.
Well, and, you know, being by the seaside, it had some medicinal benefits, I think.
You're like one of those people from, like, the 1920s who, whenever they get just kind of rare sicknesses, they just, their doctors say, go to the sea.
Go to the sea. Yeah.
Yeah,
that's what my physical therapist said. She said, just go to the sea. You'll be fine. Besides, I should have just quit then and been, you know, under par for my career in
Living
Scotland.
Under par.
But, no, I mean, the first thing, obviously, what struck me most about Kilspindie, one, the quirkiness starting with a par three, but then, you know, you're just the views, right? You're out on the sea. I know it's like, yeah, that's Lynx Golf, but to see it for the first time, yeah, it was just special. It was.
Well, now, like, that was a cool piece of land too, because Gullin was across where they were having the Scottish Open. So you could see all the hospitality tents and everything going on kind of across this little cove. In the first, five or six holes at Kilspindie, right along the water, and you're playing to an infinity green on four or five, and you know, you can see Edinburgh in the background, and it's just crazy good. And then it kind of, we thought it was going to lose some steam as it went inland after I think 8 or 9 goes inland, and if anything, it kept my attention even more. Like, there was just some exceptionally interesting par fours and par threes. And then I thought the 17th hole, you know, goes up this hill, and it almost looks like a little mini mountain range up there. There's this wall that runs through it.
Walls were a theme on this.
I believe it was Hadrian's Wall. Yeah.
Yeah, you guys kept saying that. That's yet to be confirmed. But you know what Kill Spinney reminded me of a little bit was what's the little public course that's right next to the country club in Brookline?
Oh, Putter and Meadows.
You know what I mean? You got all these like big ass, just world class places around it, and then you go check this place out, and it's like a cheaper.
It was like a mix,
really quirky knockoff kind of version.
Putter and Meadows
so
and
cool.
Pacific Grove,
yeah,
like mixed together.
Well, and that's what we want to. We're going to talk about each individual course, and you're going to walk away, and we're all going to have rave things to say about each one. But we're going to do our best to kind of put the courses in different classes, right? So, you guys open this up for debate, but Kill Spindy to me. It's not necessarily the type of course. It's definitely not the course you base a trip around, right? I mean, we touched on some of the biggest name courses, and there's a reason why people line up to play these courses and book them way in advance and base trips around them. Kill Spindy, though, definitely fits the class of a course you need to fit in your itinerary, or the type of course you need to fit in to get a variety of experiences and to see what quote-unquote normal golf is like in Scotland.
Right? Yeah, you need the context.
Yeah, exactly. And I think there's a couple different trips you can take to Scotland. And you can either do the big, I'm looking to just check boxes and tell people that I played these courses.
Bag tags, baby. Bag tags.
You could be bag tag Barry if you want. That's fine. And look, there's nothing wrong with that. If you get one trip,
if you
get one trip to go over there and you want to do it big, then that's fine. And if that's your goal, then Kill Spindy's probably not on the list. But if you do want to get a more, you know, kind of wholesale look at what golf is actually like for people who live there, then Kill Spindy is a huge must. I mean, it was so
like
fun.
The day that we played, there was a junior event going off right behind us, and I think it was basically us and about...
Those kids were so much better than
80,
us.
80 kids out there behind us, and it was crazy. Like, how it was just, it was like, all right, like, you hear all this stuff about grow the game here, and it was... All those kids were just absolutely golfing their ball.
And that kind of course is the perfect place for a kid to learn the game of golf, and for us to like learn how to play a different style of golf also. But they're not going to be – if there's nothing overgrown about it, there's no length issues for any of those kids, and you learn how to – all the short par fours had such awesome strategical elements to it, right? I mean, there's maybe three pot bunkers right in front of a 290-yard hole. You're like, all right, well, what's my strategy here? Do I lay back and try to hit a full wedge in, or – do I try to avoid these bunkers, but I have really no control of the ball once it hits the ground? And
well, and I think that's an interesting point, because I think a lot of times people talk about strategy with golf holes and stuff, and the average player is such a shitty player.
Yeah.
You know, that like the strategy almost never actually comes into play, because you're just hanging out for dear life trying to hit the fairway. So when you're playing a shorter course like this, like that stuff is actually relevant to so many more players,
right?
Which I think is what you're saying, you know, with the juniors and
I'm
stuff.
Like pointing at myself. Like, that's you just
but you know what
you
I mean
just like, described me
a whole like 17 and 18 were these two back-to-back incredibly short fours, and it's, you know, you have the wind obviously going, you know, the same direct, like one of them's going to play into, one of them's going to play, you know, downwind. And it's just that if you're playing that place every day, it would be such an exercise in thinking your way around.
Kind of restraint.
Yeah. And it's just, it's really, really cool.
Yeah.
Like in 18, the it's this downhill, I guess it's a par four. I mean, who cares?
It was like 230.
It's like 230 or 240. Yeah. And there's this awesome porch on the back of the clubhouse, and everybody's just sitting there having a pint. And that was the perfect, like in my mind, that was the perfect finishing hole.
Well, and that's what I was going to say, that the one of the things I was most looking forward to are the finishing holes where the out of bounds, that the property kind of butts right up against a clubhouse, the town, the what have you. And Kill Spindy was a great little introduction in that, you know, there's essentially off the back of the green and to the right of the green is, you know, it's staked out of bounds, but it's the porch, it's people sitting there having a beer. It's just a cool little intimate feel for a finisher that you just don't really get in the States. And so that would be a recurring theme and one of my favorite aspects of, you know, kind of our trip. I also, you know, kind of talking about where to place this course in your trip, like it was the best course, I think, to get off the plane and go play.
Yeah.
It's an easy walk. It's, you know, again, it's relatively flat ground right there by the sea. Is it the Firth of Forth? Or no. I'm trying to think of the body of water.
Yeah, that's what it is. Okay. You nailed it. You rocked it, bud.
Listen, we rocked it. And so I think, you know, if you were kind of making an itinerary with Kilspindi in mind, it's the ideal place to play off the plane, or it's kind of a great late afternoon, maybe, you know, second round of the day where it's a bit more casual. You know, you're just not going to get beat up playing out there.
We're basically just trying to stave off jet lag keep ourselves busy and have some fun in the process. But I think the biggest theme that it kind of plants in your head is just because you can hit a shot doesn't mean you should hit a shot. So, like, if you let's say it's a 290-yard par 4, that just because you can reach the green, and I know I'm saying this on a no laying up podcast, but doesn't mean that you should be hitting that shot.
Habeas corpus has been suspended for today.
But it's also, to the overall point, though, in talking about not overextending yourself for different regions, the point is, like, there's so much good golf in each region that you don't need to go to all the corners of Scotland to play great courses, because there's very good courses right next door that allow you to get more of a depth of what the experience is like. And we actually at one point tried to say which two courses are the most similar that we played, and kind of had a hard time coming up with that. And still, I forget kind of where we concluded on that. Each course kind of is different, truly different in its own way.
Yeah,
so.
For sure.
And we could have played, Gullen, we could have played Dunbar, we could have played Winterfield. Like, there was,
we would have had a hard time getting on Gullen.
No, the Scottish Open. They have three courses.
Oh, that's right. That's true. That's true. You're right. Look, you're right.